today by the grace of God. We will finish the series of sermons of Ephesians, and we will continue preaching about this letter. Beloved, we are going to be learning and rejoicing in all the blessings that this letter has for us. We are going to see how the Apostle Paul prayed to God the Father for believers to come to understand the purpose of the triune God to bless us with our spiritual blessings in heavenly places, to be enlightened in order that you may know three things. These three things we're going to be seeing today. First, the hope of his calling. The riches of the glory of his inheritance. And third, the incomparable great power of our Lord. These three points are the three petitions that Paul brings to God in prayer in favor of all believers. May God this morning answer the Apostle Paul's request that in this church all believers be blessed with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding necessary to understand the call, the wealth and power we have received in Christ, to carry out the great vision and mission that the church has on this earth, to unite all things in Christ in the dispensation of the fullness of times, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, and subjecting everything under his feet. He gave a head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, let's consider, brothers, the prayer that the Apostle Paul did for us. And listen with an attitude of obedience to meet the requests of Paul for us and our Christian unity. Before commenting and exposing the three petitions that the Apostle raises to God the Father in his prayer, let's observe as the Apostle introduced this his prayer. The prayer that Paul will do is motivated by three realities in the lives of believers. One, for the blessings bestowed by the Holy Trinity. Two, by the faith of Ephesians in the Lord Jesus. And three, for the love that is showed from the Ephesians to all the saints. These three realities are the ones that have motivated the Apostle Paul to do this prayer. This first reality is the spiritual blessing with which we are blessed. This we can see in the verse 15. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 15. For this reason, I also. That is, Paul's reason to pray this prayer is due to the multiform greatness of his grace to bless all believers in Christ with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Paul, in his pastoral love, does not want any brother or sister, due to either doubt, ignorance, or carnality, waste this glorious and rich blessing of grace, and not to enjoy in Christ the greatness of these blessings. That is why Paul raises this prayer to God, because he wants us to understand the reality of our blessings and richness. The second reality is the faith of the Ephesians in the Lord Jesus. You can see this in verse 15. It says, having heard of your faith in Lord Jesus. Every pastor of this church, of Grace Church, will be praying this prayer with Paul to examine how the church of Ephesus was surrounded by many temptations which could weaken the faith of many, with constant offers of economic prosperity which were announced to bring worshippers and servants to the goddess Diana, with the daily bombardment of the calling to practice sex with the priestesses of Diana, to be blessed through Diana, and old tales and so-called science of the movement of the moment, proposing to Diana's believers a new life, an inheritance through Diana. All these temptations could weaken the faith of believers, inviting them to go into the world of idolatry and paganism in search of prosperity. But Paul heard that the brothers of Ephesus remained in their faith, and they did not capitulate. This is the second reason because the apostle wants to pray to God, so that believers can solidify and make their faith strong in knowledge and understanding of the three eternal situations establishing believers above the religious system of Diana. He wanted them to continue and go ahead above all of those temptations that Diana's religious system and the economic system of Rome was being a force for all the believers. The third reality is the love of believers for all saints. Verse 15, and your love for all the saints. This reason that the apostle highlights of because he has to pray to God for the believers in Ephesus is powerful in the relationship of believers and Christian unity. Look closely. In Ephesus, only those who were related to the religion of Diana and the Roman system enjoyed property, wealth, social welfare, and material needs, all covered. Believers in Christ, for their refusal to participate in this worldly feast, lived in social poverty. Because of this, the wealthy members of the church, they had to share their wealth with all the brothers and sisters they had less income. This was a practice of the sincere love that this church had. According to Paul, they not only helped in the needs of the brothers of local churches in Ephesus, but all the saints of Asia Minor. These demonstrations of true and pure love motivated Paul to pray to God the Father for believers to know other dimensions of the eternal love of God for his church. Brethren, these three reasons that the Apostle Paul had, he said in verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. The center theme and purpose, because why the Apostle Paul prayed to God the Father for believers, it is as Paul says in verses 17 and 18, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. The central theme of this prayer is that the person of the Holy Spirit will give the believer wisdom and revelation to understand better the higher power, the higher knowledge of God. He says, and by the same Holy Spirit, the eyes of the hearts of believers are enlightened, so they know the three petitions that Paul raised to God for all believers. The three petitions that Paul made to God for believers in Christ are requests to be enjoyed. In order to be enjoyed, we must be able to understand them in all its dimensions. For that reason, Paul asked the Holy Spirit to give us a double portion of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Without wisdom and revelation, we're not going to be able to understand this prayer. When we talk about the Spirit of wisdom in Isaiah 11:2, we can see the Spirit revealing itself as a Spirit of wisdom. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Biblically speaking, wisdom is the ability that the Holy Spirit gives us to understand the mysteries, depths, will, and character of God and his works. Therefore, when we need wisdom of God, we are to ask in prayer, as expressed in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. The apostle believes that in order to understand the dimension and depths of the request, it is necessary that the person of the Holy Spirit give us a double portion of his Spirit and wisdom. As for the Spirit of revelation, it is an action of the person of the Holy Spirit. He gave us a portion of his Spirit to bear in the mind and heart of the believers a better knowledge of God. It is a direct action of the Holy Spirit, the eyes of your mind, that ye may know the three requests. Now let's observe and expose the petitions that Paul brings to God for all believers in Christ. Before this, we have to remember that this is not about going to church and say that the Spirit has revealed to you this and that. This is not what he is talking about, this practice of prophecy. The revelation that Paul is talking about is a spirit where we can understand completely the will of God for our lives. The petitions that Paul brings to God in name of the believers, the first request is about the hope of your calling. It is what the Apostle Paul says in verse 18, so that you may know the hope to which he has called you. This is a commentator and scholar, Dr. William Hendrickson. He writes, "The urgent invitation of the gospel, which is the external calling, was applied to their hearts by the Holy Spirit, producing the internal calling procedure. This internal calling is the one referred to in every part of the New Testament." Samuel Perez Milos is another commentator, and he wrote, "In other words, to know the hope that is opened by the calling of God, otherwise may God make ever more clearly the light of hope that comes from the heavenly calling. When God has called us in Christ, he called us to know the hope of glory. You have been called to understand, live, and experience the hope that God has for you. The hope is a reference to his commandments. This hope has to do with his promises. All believers in Christ have been called to belong to Jesus Christ, as says in Romans 1:6. All saints have been called according to be saints. All believers have been called to be saints, Romans 1:7. All believers have been called to according to God's purpose, Romans 8:28. And all have been called to be children of the living God, Romans 9:26. We have been called to intimate communion with Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:9. To total freedom, Galatians 5:13. We have been called to peace, so that the peace of God will rule in our hearts in a body, according to Colossians 3:15. We have been called to receive eternal inheritance, according to Hebrews 9:15. We have been called to inherit a blessing, according to 1 Peter 3:9. To participate in the supper of the Lamb's marriage in Revelation 19:9. This call opens the doors to hope. And this hope is, like William Hendrickson said, this hope is solidly grounded in the infallible promises of God. He is the anchor of the soul. This hope is the promise that we have believed in our hearts, and we look forward with faith that God will fulfill it in us. Hope are not mindsets, not passions, human thoughts, and emotional desires that come to us in our hearts. Hope are the promises that God gives us, which we hope and wish of the heart, which are fulfilled in us. And all hope of his promises are guaranteed. All hope of his promises are guaranteed by an oath, as the Bible says in Hebrews 6:17 and 19. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the hearers of the promise, the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. For this reason, the Christian life can be summed up as the Bible says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, constant in prayer. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same Jesus Christ, our Lord and God, our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace for the rich in this world, charge them not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which are uncertain, but in the living God, who gives us all things richly to enjoy. Let us hold on to the hope we profess, for he is faithful, he had that made the promise, and by him to believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. Paul prayed for, in order for you and me to be able to have hope. And this hope is all the promises that has been given to us in the Bible. Once I committed an error as a pastor. In Dominican Republic, I was a pastor, and a brother came to me. He had a problem. He had he was going to start a business. This brother had someone that can in his family that was wealthy, and he was going to help him out. But at that moment, he needed the money fast. So he came for me to help him. I went with him to the bank. That was a mistake, because my first thing to do was to go with him in prayer. But I, at that moment, was with my business hat on. And I went with him to the bank, and they gave him a loan of 40,000 pesos. 40,000 pesos in that moment was a lot of money. In those times, my salary was 150 pesos a month. So just imagine. I did the favor. I forget about it. Months passed, and there was a letter coming into my house, a legal letter. I had to go to the bank to pay the money that was not, hasn't been paid. That debt was around 90,000 pesos. I had no way to pay that. When I went to the bank, the clerk told me, "Well, Pastor, we know you. We know that was a favor that you was doing, but this is your name that is here signed. You have to pay." I was going crazy. I didn't know what to do. I went to preach to Puerto Rico. It was a week of preachings, and the first day I preached, the second day I preached, the third day, the pastor's wife told me, "You're not preaching the same. You don't look like you." I just told her, "Well, pray for me." And I went to the room, and I was praying, "God, it's evident. And I asked the pastor, my friend, please don't call me through the day. I am going to be praying. I will just be at 5 when it's time to go to the church. I will be ready. So that day, I stayed in the room and I was praying and I said, God, I am your servant. I am serving you. And I asked for forgiveness. I said, Father, you promised that you was not going to let me by myself. You have said I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. Please don't let me be ashamed. And I continued praying until at one point, at 5 o'clock, they knocked on the door. I was ready. I went to church. I preached. And then we went to dinner to one of the members that invited us. And the owner of the house, he say, well, I have 2 questions for you. The first one was a biblical question about demons and stuff. And the second question, he say, that has to be by my and us by ourselves. So we went out to the yard and he told me, Pastor, I am going to ask you a question and just answer me. Be sincere. So I say, well, tell me. And this brother said, how much is your debt? And I say, who told you about my debt? Just tell me. And I try to explain what happened, and that person told me, no, I don't need any explanation. I just need the information. How much is the debt? I was ashamed. I didn't want to say. And I just told him 90,000 pesos, not dollars, pesos. And that person took a check out of his pocket and he just wrote the check. And that check, when I saw it, I was just asking, who told you that I had a debt? He said the following. The third day that you was preaching, my son came forward and received Jesus. And I felt from God that I needed to help you. And I prayed, God, I want to help this man. And my wife told me, let's pray about his debts. Who did all of this? We have been called for a hope. We have been called for a glory inheritance. God had everything done for me. It was already done. I am not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I will be with you. The second request is about the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It is what Paul says in verse 18, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The apostle asks in prayer that the Spirit will give us wisdom and revelation so that we can understand the existing richness in the inheritance that God has given us in Christ through the Holy Spirit. The great insistence of the apostle Paul is that God the Father gives to all believers wisdom and revelation of the riches they have, so that they don't fail in any way in their faith, seeking riches in the false religion of Diana and the Roman Empire earthly system. There are so many riches of the inheritance that has been given to us, to the saints. That the Bible says, together with Christ, and He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to show us the coming ages, the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Therefore, my brethren, when we come to Christ by faith, asking God, Father, anything, God gives us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might in the inner man by His Holy Spirit. He is able to do for us more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be the glory in church by Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul prayed for all of us to understand the riches we have obtained in Christ. We need to stop living as needy, unfortunate in this world. Stop complaining and becoming angry when we come to the trials of life. Stop complaining when the battering of life and economic debts flood our minds. Let's stop being pitiful, looking in the world joy, peace, and love and happiness. We have already been blessed with an eternal inheritance. Therefore, all is yours, and we are complete in Christ. So as we go to God in prayer, we can say, as the Apostle Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We have to believe this. You know what is our great problem? That this is written. It's a promise that God has already given to us as a church. All the riches, all the blessings are us, as are ours. But we do not believe it. We do not live. We don't live it. We don't enjoy it because we don't believe it. There was a man that he lived in a town. He had three sons and a wife. This man, he had a big debt in the shop, the grocery shop. Came a man, and he saw that in that town was just one shop, and he came to the owner and say, this is the only one in town? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Is there any person that has a debt that they cannot pay? So what are they going to do, because you're the only business in town? Well, that person will have problems. They're not going to be able to buy anything, because if they have a debt with me, they cannot continue buying. There's someone like that. Yes, there's a man that has a debt, a big debt with me, and he cannot come over to buy anything. He says, well, does he have a big debt? Yes. How much it is? This and this. Okay. And this person has children? Yes. A wife? Yes. So, well, this is a check. In case of he needs something, this is the debt completely paid, and this is for cases in which he needs something for his children. And in case his wife needs something, there's another check. This is covered for a few years of debts in the future. So the man from the shop called the person that it was in debt, and he said, well, someone came in and paid everything for you. You can just take whatever you want here because everything is paid for. Even if you want everything in this shop, you can take it. That person said, well, you are lying. You are trying to... you have a plan. You have called the police. And I am leaving right now because this is not good. He went home. Well, he went home. He never came back to the shop. And he died. His wife died. His children died. And he never knew. So many of us have been already blessed, but we're going to continue living as poor because we do not want to understand that we have already have been blessed with all blessings and we are complete in Christ. The last blessing, the last request, has to do with the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. The Apostle Paul prayed for all of us to come to understand what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. That power operated in Christ. Three great events. The first event is the power that operated in Christ for resurrection. The second power, the power that operated in Christ, seating him at the right hand of God. And the third power, that was the power operating in Christ to subdue all things under his feet. This extraordinary power is the same power that is working for us. This great power, you and I, we have it. But remember, as Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. All believers, we need to know that this is through Christ. We have to exercise that power by faith and prayer through Christ. Ephesians 6:10, 11 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his strength. But put on the whole armor of God so that you can be able to stand against the devil. With this extraordinary power, Moses parted the Red Sea with a stick in his hands. Joshua gave 7 laps to the walls of Jericho and they collapsed. With this power, David defeated the giant just with a few stones. With this power, the sterile, ungodly woman, Anna, had a son who was one of the greatest prophets and priests of God, Samuel. With this power, Peter and John in the temple gate called Beautiful, he raised a paralytic. With the power of Christ, the church and the persecution prayed to God, and the house where they were praying trembled, and the apostles were empowered to continue preaching the powerful gospel of Jesus, and many were saved and healed. With this power, God the Father, we are able to carry out his great and powerful plan. The plan is this: subdue all things under his feet and gave him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The whole universe is under the feet of the church. That should change our vision. This short vision that does not even get to the wall or the ceiling.
has to change.
God has a plan. All world, all nations are under our feet. We are going that way. That is the history of humanity. The church has to reign with Christ. Glory to God. It doesn't matter what danger, disease, distress, anguish, needs, misfortunes, family and marital problems that we are in, any social, economic situation, in any situation we find ourselves, we have to remember what the Bible says. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you, always having all sufficiently in everything, may abound to every good work. This is the power that we have. Brother, sister, you are powerful. You just have to exercise in this power, the power of Jesus Christ. And say as Paul, I can do all things through Jesus Christ that makes me strong. Once dear sister, that she had a husband, he was violent. He drank alcohol every day. He came home. And before he came, when he came home, he didn't say hello to his wife in a gentle way. What he did, he took his shoe off, and when his mom, wife opened the door, he threw the shoe at her. This was a Christian woman. So she decided to go to pray, and she was asking God two things. She asked, God, change my husband or take him away from me. She was 2 weeks praying, or either you change him or you take him away. She came to a point where this man was walking, and he heard a few men of God in a house, and they were praying. He stopped to watch. They invited him to come in. They continued praying, and at the end, one of them came to him and preached the gospel. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit opened his mind, and he understood that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior, and accepted him. His difficulty now was, how am I going to go home? They told him he was new in Christ. His life was new in Christ, but he didn't know how to be new. He just knew how to be abusive. So one of the men came up with an idea. He gave him flowers to take home. For a Dominican man, it is not easy to go through the streets holding flowers in your hand. That in our culture is not well seen. That is not very manly. But he was born again. He was new. He went home with his flowers in his hands. He was at the door. He knocked the door. The sister opened the door, and she just turned her back so that the shoe will hit her back. And she was waiting. And he was just in the door with the flowers in his hands. And he said, my love, honey, I love you. And she said, he's crazy. But he is not crazy. It's the power of God in his life that has changed him. He is new. It's the same power that can change your wife change your son, change this city of Philadelphia. That's the power of God that is working in us. I want to let you today, leave you today with three exhortations. The first one, any person who believes in Christ, that in this moment want to repent, that want to invoke His name, that I want to tell you, you will be saved and you will obtain eternal life now. And you will obtain the hope and the inheritance and the richness of grace that God has for you. The second, we must keep our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love for all the saints. We face trials. We face tribulations. A lot of us, the only thing that we need is that someone to love us. What the Ephesians was doing is that they was not only giving love in the local church, they was giving love through all this area to other churches. The third exhortation is, let us pray to God the Father so that He imparts His Holy Spirit in us, wisdom and revelation, so that we can understand and enjoy the hope to which we are called, the riches of inheritance received, and the extraordinary power in Christ in order to maintain a victorious Christian life, so that Grace Church can continue in unity so as it is now. May God bless us, that God bless your life and your soul today. Let's pray. Father, I pray for anyone in this moment that is visiting us today, this morning, and listening to your word. The Holy Spirit has talked to their hearts, and this person wants to follow you. I ask that your grace will be enough and efficient in a way that your word will be complete in their lives, in the life of this person that is believing, that the salvation and the hope of glory comes to his life. I ask that you give us this spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we can walk out of here believing that we have a call of hope, that we have inheritance, we have wealth in grace, and that we have received this extraordinary hope in Christ, that we can continue the victorious Christian life. Open our minds that we can see these three things and live through them, and that we can say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.